team. Morning to you all. Yeah, we have met previously on the issues that we're going to discuss today. So we're not expecting to be taken as far back as when was it started and all that. We want an update. There are questions that we asked in the last meeting, especially concerning the built environment in the last meeting that we held in October last year. So what exactly we want today is an update or a progress report on what is actually happening. The serious issue is the issue of transformation. We really need to see that. We don't need to talk about it, we need to see it. Number two, not only transforming by seeing a certain race, but also by developing many, so that the demographics of the country are represented in all. We will then hand over to our committee secretary. In fact, the agenda that is in front of you, we'll amend it by, in fact, we agree in the last meeting we had that the issue of the minutes has to be there in the end. We start with the presentation and then we deal with minutes, consideration and adoption of minutes. After the presentations have been done, the department has left, then we remain as the members and deal with the minutes. So we appeal that, secretary, when you type or do your agenda, please consider that, because we have agreed previously. We will then, any apologies?
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to the DM, the DG, honourable members and their colleagues at large. I've got an apology of Honourable Kopane, who could not attend today's meeting due to personal challenges at home. And the other apology that we have is that of the Minister, who's attending the Cabinet meeting this morning. Thanks, Chair.
DM, on the issue, on the issue of the Minister, I think as this committee we agreed that we know that there are Cabinet meetings sitting on Wednesday, but we want the Minister here. And as such, we gave her the program for this year. So we want you to take that message. We agreed on that one last time. The meetings sit on Wednesday. We can't change that, so she has to juggle. Honorable Mchobo.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'd like to propose to take both presentation, then deliberation after, if possible.
On the advice, Honorable Mchobo, from the team next to me, this time, let's deal with the presentation differently. We deal with the progress report on the built environment and then we deliberate on it so that we come to some conclusion and then we get a presentation on the review of the white paper. Not this time. Maybe next time we'll then plan it carefully. Thank you. We'll then hand over to, okay, Honorable Shabalal.
Nyakolisa Sal, sorry for disturbing the meeting. I'm not sure whether the point that I want to raise will fit into today's agenda, or can we agree that it's a standing item, the item on vacancy rates. The reason why chair is because we are approaching the end here, and we would not want to be surprised by the under expenditure whilst we have vacancies and people acting on positions. But also you need to anticipate what kind of delivery do we expect when there are so many vacancies. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Shabalala. I think on today's meeting, we will not be able to deal with what we are raising, but if you can look at our program for the year or for this quarter, that is from January up to March, you will find out that on the 4th of March, we are expecting the department to report on the third quarter. So when we deal with that, we will then see how much vacancies are there, are they going to spend, and all those things. So to me, for this one, let's deal only, remember, we gave the department the program and we expected them to bring certain reports. So, but it is a concern. I think they must also note it, Ndiba, you are raising a concern. Thank you. Can we then hand over to CEO?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and good morning to all the honorable, to yourself, honorable members, the team from CBE and its professional councils, as well as led by the deputy, by the chairperson, as well as the CEO, and your team from Parliament, which supports us. Good morning to you all. My apologies, I was a little bit late. I got lost in the building out of some misinformation. My apologies for that. Chair, the DG and his team will at some point, if necessary, introduce themselves, but I thought that it is important for us just to make this statement to the effect that what we are here about this morning, to present to the committee on is a matter of a constitutional obligation on all of us. If we talk freeing the potential of each individual, as the preamble of the Constitution so directs us, we then have to have the skills pipeline is not an option but an obligation. And therefore, we appreciate the opportunity for us to be given to make use of it by sharing with both the committee and the people of South Africa what both our entities and the department are doing in this respect, with respect to freeing the potential of individuals. Mine is to really appreciate that opportunity, and we'll come back when all deliberations are made so as to input further. But now, the CEO, I was informed that she would be doing the presentation. But the DG is also here, DG Vukela, together with his support team. With respect to the apology from the minister, without sounding like defending the minister, I think today is that very important day for our country, the budget day, and cabinet is therefore seized with dotting the I's and crossing the T's in that budget, because it's a collective effort to get to it. With that understanding, and I do want to say, we have shared with the Honorable Minister the concerns from the committee, and we have agreed to try and work on a plan that could assist both of us. But as you would be aware by now, that because also entities have been delegated to myself, when they have to report, I must be here. So our apologies once more as a department on that note. Thank you, Chairperson. I hand over to DG or CEO.
Thanks very much, DM and Chairperson and Honourable Members. Maybe we should just introduce ourselves, because we've got the councils here. I'm Sam Vukela, I'm the DG, and then the CEO will introduce herself and also the leadership of the councils. Thanks.
Good morning, Chairperson, committee members, DM, the presidents that are here, and the CEOs and registrars. My name is Priscilla Mdalose. I'm the CEO of the Council for the Built Environment. Here with me is my chairperson and the deputy chair, who was the acting chairperson of the CBE. And I also have the councils, as I've mentioned, that they are represented by their presidents and the registrars. Thank you. So I think, Chairperson, if you will allow me, then I will proceed with the presentation. But perhaps before that, Chair, if you will allow me to just ask the Chairperson of the CBE to greet the House, and perhaps if he's got a few opening remarks, he can do so. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, CEO. Chairperson, honorable members of the portfolio committee, Deputy Minister, honorable DG, DDGs, presidents of the six councils, CEOs, and registrars, greetings to you all. Since our last presentation here in October, there is a number of issues that the CBE has been seized with, and amongst those, we can make honorable members aware that we hosted a transformation in Durban in October, which was very successful, Chair. And coming out of that, there were a number of issues that were flagged, which will translate into a fundamental focus in terms of what the CBE will be seized with going forward. And I'm Happy Chair to maybe say that as part of that principal focus, our view has been to, in collaboration with the six councils that fall under the CPE and other strategic partners that we have identified, to mobilize all of those around the national infrastructure development program that will seek to stimulate a robust economic growth and job creation while prioritizing the absorption and progression of graduates, which will be in line with the transformation priorities of government. As you will be aware, Chairperson, from the SONA address by the President last week, government's priority, the number one priority, has been the issue of economic transformation and job creation. So we are hoping that through the interventions that we are proposing to the portfolio committee, we will be able to make a contribution as far as that priority is concerned. So our presentation this morning will focus, the CEO will take us through the kind of interventions that we are proposing to drive this economic agenda. We will also give an overview in terms of the strategies that we are proposing in as far as how to absorb and progress graduates from the time they graduated the various tertiary institutions through the candidacy programs that we have in the different councils to the time they become professionals or they register as professionals in their respective disciplines. And then we will also give an overview, Chairperson, in terms of the statistics relating to the registration of candidates and professionals in the recent past. So what we are hoping to achieve, Chairperson, coming out of the background that we have had, I know we've had a number of interactions with yourself as the portfolio committee responsible for public works and infrastructure since last year. We had deliberations in July, August, and also in October. So what we are hoping to achieve really at the end of the day going forward is to generate some kind of an authoritative report that outlines the CPE transformation agenda and what we propose to be our implementation philosophy, because the main thing really should be implementation of whatever it is that you have advised us in terms of what the CPE should be doing in line with our mandate. So we are hoping to integrate the resolutions that came out of the transformation in Daba that we had in October last year, and formulate some kind of a program of action out of that that will guide us in terms of how do we mobilize the different councils, our strategic partners, like for instance CIDB, CETA, and others that are so pivotal in terms of what the CPE mandate is, how we mobilize that in terms of making sure that transformation happens. So, Chairperson, those are some of the issues that we are hoping to engage in, and our view is that that will culminate into some kind of a framework that will then guide us in terms of the way forward. Chairperson, I will ask our CEO to take us through our report in terms of the things that we have managed since our presentation here in October last year to achieve. So she will take us through in terms of what we have achieved and what we have set out to achieve in the near future. Thank you, Chairperson.
Chair, we'll then hand over to the CEO.
Thank you, Chair. I think the purpose of this meeting really is to update the portfolio committee members on where we are since our last meeting on the 23rd of October 2019. Chair, I think one of the important issues that you want to raise. In terms of the structure of the of our presentation, perhaps as you have indicated, you don't want to go back in terms of perhaps outlining the mandate, but we might touch on that one because it helps us as well to align our discussion so that we are able to move forward with that understanding of what is our core mandate going forward. So Chair, I'm not going to go through all the slides. If you'll allow me to, I'll just perhaps go through the slide number 4, which outlines the purpose of our meeting today, which is to give you the update of where we are as the CBE and together with the councils. But also in our presentation, we just also want to highlight the relationships within the sector, because it also helps us a lot to identify who are our key partners and the stakeholders, so that you are able to interact with them with that understanding. And I think as the chairperson has mentioned, that we really wanted to just quickly highlight where we are in terms of the statistics, but we are also showing the rate of deregistration, because it is also one of the key challenges that we face as the councils. So Chairperson, if you allow me, I'll just go straight to slide number 6, which talks to the oversight role of the CBE. Perhaps you might ask why we are bringing this again to this committee. I think for us, it is just to show the portfolio committee our alignment with the outcomes of the department, because going forward, we believe that it is so important to align our outcome as the councils with that of the department. So we have identified 3 areas which are, I think, aligned to the skills pipeline that we are discussing today. The first one is that outcome of promoting a skilled built environment professionals. And then the second one is promoting a transformed built environment. And the last one is promoting public protection. So these are aligned to the outcome of the department, but also they touch on what we are here for today. Because if you are looking at the skills pipeline, you cannot look at the pipeline without making sure that you are promoting the professionals within the sector. But also the transformation initiatives are critical. Last time I think we spoke about the issues of procurement, which affect the rate of transformation that is happening within the built environment. So there are those policy elements that we need to discuss as well. So that, because it also affects the number of registrations that we have in our councils. And the issue of protection of the public, it touches on our engagement with the Competition Commission, because it touches on the issues of the identification of work. So these areas, I thought that we need to bring them forth so that it aligns well with what we are going to discuss today. And then, Chairperson, I'll go to our slide number 7, which talks directly to what we have done since October 23, 2019. I think one of the key areas that was discussed in that meeting was the issue of our working relationship, especially between the councils and the Department of Public Works. But we had engagement with the department, we had a meeting with the deputy minister, where we presented our transformation in Indaba resolutions. So those resolutions, Chairperson, they are directly aligned to the issues that were discussed, the areas of concerns from the industry. So it was important for us to first start with the deputy minister and report on these resolutions, because we need to implement them, because we made a decision that our transformation endeavors are not going to be just talk shows, but we want to come up with resolutions that will change the landscape of our built environment or of our sector. So these were presented to the deputy minister, who then facilitated a workshop. I think it was on the 5th of December. So he called all the entities and all the officials of the department, so that you are able to present these resolutions, but also to solicit their work and their strategies, so that you are able to work together to implement the resolutions of the transformation endeavor. So there are departments that are critical in making sure that you are able to address these issues. One of the departments is the National Treasury, which when we are dealing with the issues of procurement, they should be part of those discussions. We also have our sister entities, like CIDB, that are critical in addressing the procurement issues. So in that meeting, then we developed 4 collaborative forums or working groups. So currently, I think, Chairperson, this is what we want to report on, that we have established those collaborative forums. We are going to have another meeting on Thursday, on the 27th of February, where we are going to look at how to implement the resolutions of the transformation endeavor. But again, what we decided to do is to develop the terms of reference so that you are able to define the scope of each of those collaborative forums. So we have also looked at the composition of those collaborative forums, because we felt that it is important to include all the role players. So the composition of those collaborative forums, we are looking at the participation of the youth, the participation of the disabilities, the participation of women, I think basically those are the critical participants that we felt that they should be part of those collaborative forums. But also, we have invited critical departments to be part of those collaborative forums, because we understand that we cannot change, we cannot input on the police procurement reviews if we don't have the like National Treasury and the DPSA, who is also one of the critical role player in our discussion. So, Chairperson, out of as we engage in those collaborative forums, one of the key areas that you want to, or one of the tool that you want to develop is the monitoring tool, because we will be taking these resolutions or these proposals back to the departments that are relevant. But then we develop the monitoring tool so that we are able to monitor whether those departments who are responsible for implementation are doing what they are supposed to be doing. So, Chairperson, in terms of where we are, I think this is what we have done since October. But another thing that we have done as the CBE, coming from the discussion that we had, is to engage the Construction Education and Training Authority, the CETA. We have had a number of meetings with them before, so we also had organized one. This meeting, it was attended by the council, the six councils. So one of the outcome of these meetings was to unblock the funding, because the councils, they need the funding from the CETA so that they are able to implement their transformation initiatives. So I'm glad to report that some of the councils are now having a one-on-one with the CETA so that they are able to be assisted with their funding. We also met with MRCETA on the 11th of January 2020. I think our meeting with MRCETA was also around the issue of funding the skills pipeline. But MRCETA is also funding some workplaces. So as CBE, we are interested in monitoring what is happening in those workplaces, because I think, as we've presented here, that some of our candidates, they don't get enough exposure from their areas of work. So CBE will be working in partnership with MRCETA so that you are able to monitor those workplaces. And then lastly, Chairperson, we also met with the Department of Higher Education and Training. It is also around the issue of collaboration, around the issues of research, but also of funding of the students. So, Chairperson, this is what we have done since our meeting in October. Chair, if you allow me, I would ask the CEO of EXA to take us through the presentation on slide 8 and slide 9. Those slides, they look at the relationship, as I've indicated in my introduction, the relationship that we have within the sector, because it will be beneficial for us to understand those relationships so that we are able to strengthen the partnerships where it is needed. So, Chair, if you allow me, I'll ask Mr. Madonsela to just take us through slide 8 and slide 9. Thank you, Chair.
Good morning, Madam Chair, and good morning, honorable members of the committee, and good morning to the Deputy Minister. And with all protocol observed, my name is Sipho Madonsela. I'm the current CEO of the Engineering Council of South Africa. In the spirit of collaboration, we met together with the other colleagues, the registrars from other professional councils, and the CEO of CBE last week, to put together this presentation. And in that discussion, we felt it was important for us to just share with the committee on the historical relationship that has existed between the state, the professions, and the regulator. The professions here being represented by various interest groups that are benefiting from the practice of the professionals in the built environment. The slide that I'm talking to has got three gears there. One at the bottom is the gear that represents the state, to be represented by Parliament, and hence we are here today to report to the Portfolio Committee. And of course, the professional councils report to the Minister as well. We also have the second gear moving upwards, which is a gear that represents the regulators, the six built environment professional regulators, and then the top one are the professions interest groups, people that have some kind of a relationship with what is happening in the professions. May I preface this by talking to what happened in the evolution of the professional, of the professions or professional councils from as far back as 1968 in the case of the Engineering Professional Council. At that time, the profession was not regulated through statute, but it was a voluntary regulation or self-regulation, as we often use that language. And there was a need identified by those who are practicing in the profession that there is a need to have a partnership with the state. And hence, later on in years, there was an enactment of the Engineering Council of South Africa. But then at that time, it was called SACPE, South African Council of Professional Engineers. Why was that necessary? They felt that the decisions taken by professionals in their practice of their profession could have an impact on matters of health and safety of the public as well as of the environment. They could also have impact on matters of sustainability of society as a result of their activities. And hence the government had to come in, or the state had to come in, to give that kind of protection against the public by ensuring that they would enact an act of parliament which would make sure that the regulators are in place. And hence we are there today. And in the enactment of those pieces of legislation, provisions would be made that would ensure that we from time to time come and report to parliament, of course, or to the minister or any other ministers in the government as one of our mandates on issues that are happening, and ensure that there are standards put in place to ensure that whatever decisions that are made by professionals who are practicing out there do not unduly expose the public against the interests of their health and safety, as well as the environment as well. Also, provisions that needed to be made were those of ensuring that the practice out there is sustainable. And hence, we always, as professional councils, develop what we call a guideline set of fees against the work that we do, and those tariffs have been published annually. Although the Competition Commission has advised against that, but we are in discussions with them because we see the impact of that position is that one of diluting and prejudicing the interest and sustainability of the professions out there. How do we make sure that we protect the health and safety of the public? If I look at it from the standards that are set by the regulators, we have what we call the code of practice, where people must make their technical judgments on a sound academic information that they have learned from their training at the universities, as well as from their experiences that they have attained post-qualification from their universities. The second element that we guard against is that those people who practice must do so within parameters that are ethical, and the unscrupulous people that practice in that environment should therefore be held accountable by the regulator. Then if we go to the top, we also set the standards, we set the standards for education at the universities for those who qualify to go and practice as professionals. And we also make sure that those standards are adhered to when people register as professionals and do their professional practice. The interest groups that we have, I mentioned the universities because we accredit their education programs to make sure that they are world-class standards and they adhere to those standards. And they produce, of course, our candidates who qualify from those universities. I'll talk to that in the next slide. We also have government and the SOEs and any other employer bodies who procure services and goods from the members of the profession are practicing out there. We also have voluntary associations, which are societies of knowledge, that are responsible for the promotion of the profession, because the regulator cannot be the player and the referee at the same time. They also contribute towards the development of the standards because of the knowledge base that they have in their societies. And then when it comes to skills development, yes, there are centers that are established by government, the sectoral education training authorities, and we facilitate that training by defining the standards against which those who go through those skills developers, that those standards are of good quality, so that those people who come out of that program can be registered as professionals. So this is the relationship that we have between the three major players that have interest on matters of the professions that we are responsible for as the CEOs and registrars. If I go to the next slide, Madam Chairperson, we are using here the skills pipeline. We have drawn it in a fashion that really depicts a pipeline itself. But if you look at it, it's divided into four areas of what is happening at universities, and we're following the trail of someone who would want to come and practice in any profession that is within the built environment professions. A student who is matriculated would come at a university and will study a program that is set against the standards developed by the very same professional bodies, and we also go and accredit those programs. So whoever that comes through from the university after studying for a period defined in terms of that program, we then come with a qualification, and we strive to make sure that those qualifications are world-class qualifications, because they're benchmarked against other international standards as well. So that standards defines the frame or the platform on which the education training is imparted upon to the student. Once qualified from that level, he then joins or register with a professional counsel. And in the process of doing so, he'll have to attain some training. And that training has to be benchmarked against a certain standard again. Some do these trainings in formalized environment called academies. Others, they do their training from their normal employment environment. But there are exit level outcomes against which a person must demonstrate through his portfolio of evidence that he or she has met. And we submit those reports either incrementally to the professional counsel or at the end of a defined or prescribed period of time, usually 3 years, for assessment whether he can be registered as a professional. And if he meets all those level exit outcomes, then they will be registered as a professional, and that's the outcome you get from that phase. Then the next phase is the CPD regime, continuing professional development. Because we live in an environment that is technologically changing from time to time, it is important that our registered persons keep abreast with the latest developments in their environment. We rely a lot on technology in the built environment, and so we've got a regime that monitors one's practice once he has been registered as a professional, and that system logs in some points with the professional counsel, and every 5 years then a registered person will renew his registration as an outcome of logging in the points for attendance to continuing professional development seminars, participating on matters of the profession, etc. That's what they'll be doing. So the development of the CPD regime is part of our contribution as professional counsels, so that we make sure that those who practice are people who are well versed with the latest standards and developments happening out there in the profession. Then the last one is a code of practice for sound technical judgment. We establish what we call investigating committees. In fact, all professional counsels are enjoined by their legislations to establish what we call the investigating committees. The importance of this is that the essence of regulating the profession is to ensure that those who practice do so within the prescripts of the law. And therefore, there has to be a committee in any professional council that makes sure that it holds those who practice accountable for their actions against the set standards of practice. And if they deviate from that, then they, must be deregistered or taken out of the system. And hence, when we reflect the statistics here, we reflect those who have been registered, who've come into the net of those who are licensed, if we use that word, to practice the profession. But we also need to reflect those who sometimes have been found to behave in an unscrupulous manner, who have been deregistered because of that. But in some instances, we deregister people because they don't pay their subscription fee, which is a provision given in terms of the Act. Others don't get registered because they don't comply with the CPD, Continuing Professional Development, and hence we show those statistics going forward. So I thought these two slides are important to first define the role that we play in the built environment vis-a-vis other important role players, and the second one to outline our contribution in the skills pipeline as the regulators of the professions. Thank you very much, Madam Chairperson.
Thank you, Simon. I think from slide 10 to slide 20, we felt that we need to include this just to show the current statistics. And if you can look at this, it shows that there is an increase in terms of the numbers of registered persons. I think, Chair, when we were here last in October, we also presented a detailed statistics for all the councils. So this was just a reminder that there is an increase, but again, in our discussion, we also highlighted that there are challenges, even when we look at the increase in terms of numbers, but there are other challenges that we need to deal with. So Chair, if you allow me, I'm not going to go through each one of those slides, but it is from slide 10 to slide 20. It's just showing the current statistics of the councils, or from the councils. And then if you go to slide 22 to 23, it also just highlights the challenges. I know that we have brought these challenges before, but I think for us, it's important that we keep on reminding our principals that we are working within these key challenges. But I want to assure the committee members that through the collaborative forums that we have established, we are going to work through these challenges so that we are able to bring possible solutions into the sector. So, Chairperson, if you'll allow me, I'll just stop there.
Thank you, CEO and Chairperson, for your presentations. I think we must add the presentation by the department on the skills pipeline.
Good morning, Chairperson. Chairperson, we seem to be struggling with the IT skills. Yeah, but the presentation, it will be the one.
Yeah,
you do have it in your packs. It's one on public works. The very last slide is got the APP targets. It's that one with the last slide that has APP targets. That's the one. Yeah. All right. Okay. So I'll proceed then without any further ado. Good morning once again. I'm not going to dwell much into the, I think Mr. Madonsela and Ms. Priscilla have adequately captured the skills pipeline through which our programs are being implemented. So the programs are being implemented aligning to the pipeline that has been presented. So I will just go straight into what is it that we are doing as the public works in terms of the implementation now of this pipeline. I will go to the slide that has a heading number 3, which talks about public works sector coordination. That is where I'm going to start my presentation. It's titled number 3, public works sector coordination. Electronics with me. All right. As the Department of Public Works, we are implementing the programs internally. One of the main objectives is to capacitate the PMTE, but we are also coordinating the implementation of the skills pipeline across the public works sector so that we increase the number of professionals to transform the sector. You would also note that in terms of DPWI, we are having a large number of our own employees that are registered as candidates. We've also enrolled them into a structured mentorship program. We see this as a quick win for the department because these would be officials that had been in the employ of the department for quite a number of years, registered as candidates. However, they haven't attained their professional registration. We are in partnership with the Council for the Construction Project Management, SACPCMP, to provide a structured mentorship. This program is being funded by the construction sector. We are further partnering within the built environment with voluntary associations. I've listed them there. The ACPM, Association of Quantity Surveying, the Consulting Engineers of South Africa, and also ILASA, to ensure that we grow the profession as the department. We also host a number of sessions, one of them being the Young Professional Seminar, which is meant to showcase the talent that we are building as the department and to also create a platform for information sharing. We have signed a 5-year memorandum of agreement with the construction sector to fund our programs for the next 5 years. One of the programs that we are implementing is the management of the bursary funds for the CETA. Currently, we are busy consolidating the needs from the public works provinces to put together a proposal for the next 5 years that will go to the CETA to ensure then that we expand the pipeline and the number of interventions that we are having as public works. I'll continue to the next slide where I have reflected the number of beneficiaries that are participating in the pipeline. In the schools program, we have 237, I'm sure members will have 273, it's a typo, apologies there, it's 237. We are also managing an external bursary scheme of 1,041. This number does not include the permanent bursary scheme, permanent officials that are also participating in the bursary scheme with the aim of upskilling them. So that number is only for the youth that are participating in the bursary scheme. Once the young people have acquired their tertiary qualifications, they then come into the department to serve their internships. Currently, we have 617 across the public works sector who are serving their internships. Once they've concluded with that particular process, they will then move into the candidacy program, the young professional program, and currently we have 611. So this will be a cohort of young people who are being professionally mentored to enable them to acquire their professional registration. For the benefit of the portfolio committee, I have also included a slide there that talks to the very last one, that talks to the numbers, our targets for 2020-2021. These are the numbers that we've consolidated. This input has been received from provinces. So in the next financial year, we are anticipating to have 5,244 beneficiaries that are participating in the skills pipeline. I have also included the issue of the artisans there. You'll notice the third program there, the artisans, is 2008. So that is also quite a critical program for the department in us ensuring that we are managing the buildings that we have as the department. So we'll also be rolling out that program. So, Chairperson, I think I will pause there. But one of the things that maybe perhaps before I leave the chair is just to make mention that there is a document that was developed by the CIDB quite a number of years, which still remains a best practice document that talks about the issue of, it's a standard for infrastructure skills development. It talks about ring fencing a percentage on every infrastructure project to ensure that we can appoint young people into the sector. It is one of the documents that in the next financial year we're going to be pursuing to get that adopted as policy so that each and every infrastructure project that is out there, we have young people that are either participating in the internship or young people that are being mentored towards professional registration. Thank you. I'll pause there.
Thank you. I think that the last point is very progressive. The last point, that one, of using that ring fencing. Honourable members, the two reports presented to us, the one from CBE and this one from the department. I will then invite you to ask questions and comments. Honourable Siwisa, Honourable Tring, Honourable Shabalala, Honourable Hans Kalvik, Honourable Samantha, Honorable Mashele.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to greet everyone that's here today. Chairperson, I'm looking at this report and I'm going back to my notes as to all the challenges that we've identified on the meeting that was held on the 23rd of October 2019. And I'm a bit alarmed at the implementation because we've identified these things in October and then now we are told they've been implemented. And I don't want us to be skeptical. I'm trying to avoid a situation whereby the department comes to the committee for the sake of reporting and nothing happens. We all know that in order for something to be implemented, there's a long process.